And right now we've got State Senator Jen Metzger is with us. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. Thanks for having me on today.
Good. Well, thanks for checking in with us again, because I know things keep moving and things keep changing. And one of those things that a big chunk of news that people have been talking about for the last, you know, 6 days or so is the last relief bill that passed in the federal government. And I asked this of our representative, Antonio Delgado. I'll ask it of you, which was, I know that Governor Cuomo was looking for direct funding for the states, wasn't happy that that wasn't there. And I think the same probably goes for you, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, first of all, I mean, the funding that was approved last week was very important. Most of it was to replenish the small business loan programs that were created as part of the CARES Act. And, this is our small businesses have just, you know, they really have been slammed in this public health crisis. They have really needed this assistance. So, and I've spoken with a number of businesses in my district that weren't able to access the funds. They had already, had run out of funding. So I was glad to see it replenished. And there was $310 billion allotted for the Paycheck Protection Program, another $6 billion for the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. An important change there in that loan did not initially include farmers, but now in this latest round of funding, farmers can now apply for those loans. So that's very important for our region. And another important change in this round of funding for these programs is that a portion of that funding was reserved specifically for small banks, community-based lenders, credit unions. Again, this is very important for our rural communities, our smaller banks who are lending to our local businesses. So that was all positive. Unfortunately, this latest round of relief did not include any funding for state and local governments, any relief. And this means that all levels of government are facing enormous severe reductions in revenue. And we have, unlike the federal government, we have to balance our budget. We're required to balance our budget. We cannot spend more than we take in taxes and fees. And this is going to, we just passed the budget, April 1st, the state budget, to maintain funding levels from previous years, recognizing that we're in a very, very difficult economic circumstances. But now we're looking at a $10 billion reduction in revenues, and we're going to have to, we're going to have to make cuts, and we really need this federal relief to stave that off. And just to give you an idea, this is funding to our schools. Our schools, our school districts depend heavily on state funds. They need this funding. Our healthcare system, it gets significant amount of state funding. These are very important needs for our communities. So we're really pushing for another round of federal relief. And again, local governments need that relief too, because they're seeing big declines in revenues. And we've got roads to patch, and work to be done at the local level as well. So this is what we're pushing for.
All right, and how are you pushing for that? Like, what form does that take? And
well,
what happens if you don't get it?
we're talking a lot to our congressional representatives. Of course, they, Congressman Delgado, and our congressional representatives understand how important this is, and I think that they're really advocating as well. I'm sure saw in the papers that, you know, the governor went and met with the president recently. So there's pressure from, you know, all levels in the state government. But it's really important to get this relief. New York was disproportionately affected by this pandemic. Its economy was disproportionately affected, and it's very important that the federal government provide another round of funding.
All right, and I see that you have a new bill that you're introducing to prevent non-budgetary legislation from being included in the budget. My question is, what does that mean in terms that those of us who aren't following kind of blow-by-blow state legislative actions, what does that mean if we're not that familiar with the budget, if you could explain it in that
way? Sure. So the state budget is, you know, it's the fiscal plan for the year, and it has to be passed. It has to be passed by April 1st of every year. So, you know, we just recently passed the 2020-2021 budget, and the process is the governor proposes his executive budget is proposed, and then it's essentially a negotiation between the legislature, the assembly, the Senate, and the governor on working toward that final budget. And, you know, a budget is supposed to be the fiscal plan of the state, but what has been the case increasingly over the years is that the governor's proposed in his executive budget many pieces of legislation that are unrelated to the budget. So, for instance, you know, in this recent budget, it included a ban on polystyrene products. It included legislation on prevailing wage and on lots of different substantive issues that do not have direct bearing on the budget. And, as a new senator, I've found this to be really problematic. I think, first of all, it kind of blurs the lines between the executive, the roles of the executive and the legislature. It's really the legislature's job to introduce legislation. There's a normal process when you introduce legislation. You know, it goes through a committee process. It's transparent. You know, you vote on each piece of legislation, and you can see how your elected representatives voted on it. When this is all kind of stuffed into a budget, it lacks that transparency, it lacks that accountability, and, you're doing it the same time that you're working on a very important and very complex subject, which is, $177 billion budget.
I mean, and also you're doing it at the time that you're under the gun. Deadline. So this is almost like a political maneuver on the part of the governor to co-opt the imperative of that deadline for whatever other. So it's not just that it's like, hey, I'm getting my pet things in here, but it's like I'm also getting them under the seriousness, the threat of this has to be done by this date.
Yeah, and it's been, that's exactly right, and I feel like it. You know, you need bills need time. You need that time to so that they can be vetted, so that the public has an opportunity to weigh in. They can go through an amendment process as necessary, and importantly, they're voted on individually as individual pieces of legislation. I mean, there were certainly bills in the budget that I supported, but they should be voted on in the regular legislative process.
So it's a healthy democracy issue as well.
Definitely, yes. My bill would require a constitutional amendment, and that is a process. It needs to be passed by the legislature twice, two sessions in a row, and then it would go on the ballot for voters. So That's the process for this kind of change.
Right. And now
the governor doesn't actually have to sign the bill.
Is this the sort of thing, and then that's keeping with the ethos that you've got here of like, let's the legislature legislate. Let's make a legislative response to this.
Let budgets be budgets. And we have an executive budgeting process that in New York State, and that's fine. The executive, you know, proposes the budget and we negotiate it, but it should be the introduction of those budget bills and the budget process should only relate to the appropriations and the revenues of the state. They should not be on topics that are completely outside of that.
You preface this by saying, as a new senator, so is this one of those things that's just been going on for years that just kind of become the way that Albany operates and you're looking at it with fresh eyes saying, why?
Yes, exactly. Okay. It's been going on for a long time.
All right. And also, before we go, we got just a couple minutes. You say you've got a new online event series next week. What form is that going to take? What's the idea there?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so we're I'm starting it'll be on Facebook Live, but you don't have to be on Facebook to get it. I wanted to say that anyone can access it. But it's called Community Conversations, and it's basically on different topics that are important to our communities, that have on issues that have come up during this COVID-19 pandemic, and our very first community conversation will be with Dr. Kenneth Steyer, who's the Executive Dean of Touro College of Osteopathic Medicine in Orange County, and we'll be talking about health and transmission issues around COVID-19 in our region and testing and but the other topics, they're very wide ranging. We'll be talking to Sullivan County teachers on an episode devoted specifically to educational resources, and all of our children, including my own, are doing distance learning right now. So we'll be getting some information, some tips from teachers. Another topic is taking a close look at food insecurity, what regional initiatives are happening, and how people can help, and also how people, can access food if they need it. So it's really a wide range of topics, and we're doing two a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 5 p.m. for the next four consecutive weeks. And people, you can get information about it by just going either to my website, metzger.nysenate.gov, or by, it's also pinned at the top of our social media on Facebook and Twitter. So we hope you can join us. There are going to be some really interesting conversations, and they're interactive. Viewers can submit questions directly to the guests and ask all your burning questions on these topics.
All right. That's great. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Jason.
Okay.
Be well.
Good luck with what you're doing, and we'll check in again maybe next week.
That sounds great.
All right.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you. That was Senator Jen Metzger representing New York's, I lost my page. New York's District 42, number 42, the secret of the universe, no less. This is Radio Catskill WJFF. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to Senator Metzger for joining us. And I want to follow up with these elected officials, like Senator Metzger and Representative Delgado, as they're saying that there's going to be more accessibility for local banks and farmers in this past bill. It's what they expect. I want to know if that's the case. So when we talk to them again, that's part of what we'll be asking. This is WJFF. This is Radio Catskill, and support for this hour came to you from...